and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Chocolate Puma Podcast. It is I, your boy, Chocolate Puma, back with another episode, another week, and I got some good guests here for you. We are at the All-Star break of the NBA season, and who better to join me than my good friends, Carl and Dime. And we give our, it was going to be just your standard, you know, MVP, rookie of the year, blah, blah, blah. But you know how we do. We got to talking, we got to rambling, and we give our opinion on pretty much everything basketball related the first half of the season. So sit back, enjoy, and I present to you again, Dime and Killa. Basketball juice, I got a basketball juice, I got a basketball juice, ooh baby.
Well, speaking of most surprising, I'm gonna let Killa go. Killa, your most surprising thing.
Most surprising thing. Well, I mean, I think I'm pretty surprised at, I know this is gonna sound odd, but the season has gone smoother than I expected it to go outside the bubble. And I know that we've had teams like the Wizards. They missed like basically a week and a half of games. And I think it was Detroit too. We've had some COVID outbreaks, but for the most part, the season has gone pretty well. So that's been pretty surprising so far. I think the other big surprise so far is like the offseason gave such hope and it hasn't panned out at all as Atlanta. Like Atlanta, I think they looked like they were going to get better and they did not. So I don't know. It almost seems like they're gonna trade John Collins and just be mired in mediocrity for even longer.
I don't remember what our prior takes were. Did you think when we talked a few before? Did you think Atlanta was for real? I don't remember, Carl.
I thought they were gonna improve significantly, like 10 plus wins. Like, and I guess they had probably only won like 15 last year or something. So it's not like they weren't going to be necessarily a playoff team, but I thought they could make a leap.
I had to make it more of a leap. I was very high on Atlanta, and they're making me look like a fool. So, you know, thanks.
Well, you know how sometimes when you're – I don't remember what my take on them was, although I don't remember being super high on them, but I don't know if I was down on them. But like, you know how sometimes you have a bad take, and it's like in retrospect, it was a bad take also at the time? I feel like if we picked Atlanta, that was a bad take at the time. Whereas sometimes it's like, oh – this whole situation changed. How could we have known? It's like, what's really changed with Atlanta? Like John Collins still doesn't really get along with Trae Young. Trae doesn't play defense. They brought in a bunch of offense, but there's a log jam at a position. Gallinari never played games before this year. He's not playing games this year. It's like, basically you guys are morons if you were high on Atlanta. That's sort of the point I'm trying to make. I just don't remember if I was also high on Atlanta, so I don't want to go too hard.
I was all juiced up on, you know, playoff Rondo and, you know, experience coming. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, Dunn will be a good guy to come off the bench. And, you know, this could work. This could work, you know. And no, it has not worked.
I think maybe to spin off of Carl's point about Atlanta being a surprise bad team is that I think the East is surprisingly maybe better than we thought it was going to be. Although I think we were all kind of high on it, but like the middle of the East is all those teams that are in the middle of the East right now are teams that I probably picked for the bottom of the East. Charlotte, New York, you know, Toronto, we thought was going to probably drop off, that kind of thing. Like those are the teams that leapfrogged Atlanta. Chicago.
Yeah. You know, so.
Trade for Drummond.
No way.
That's right.
Wait, isn't Drummond going to Brooklyn?
No.
Am I mixing it up? I know Blake is.
Last I heard, Drummond is rumored to be the Lakers.
Oh, the Lakers, right. So Bulls are out on that sweepstakes then.
No, the thing is a team is going to trade for him. But everybody thinks he's going to get bought out. Some, like, the Bulls just have to give Otto Porter. The salaries match. It's one player. They're both expiring. Put a second-round pick on it. Call it a day.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see where that benefits Cleveland unless they're just straight-up trying to tank. But
they're going to buy him out anyway. So,
yeah.
if the option is buy him out and let him walk to whatever team he wants and get Otto Porter and a second round pick, like a second round pick is better than no pick.
Here's what my problem with it is, and this is the problem with any Bulls move from the Bulls perspective. It makes sense. We've talked about this. It's an expiring contract. The Bulls aren't really giving anything up, but it's taking minutes away from Wendell Carter, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Thad Young. I mean, he's going to steal minutes from guys who I'm enjoying watching. Has Drummond ever won on a bad team or been a contributor on a good team? Like, I don't hate Drummond, but I don't know. He doesn't excite me, right? It's like, maybe I still have Ben Wallace, like, in my mind from all those years ago, but it's like, if you get one of those guys that is so terrible offensively that they need to be DPOY to make it worth it, then they better be Defensive Player of the Year. And Drummond isn't. And by the time we got Ben Wallace, he wasn't. So it slows down the offense. In a league that's sped up, it slows down the offense. And is he really that – this I might be wrong about, but is he that great a defensive player? Like, by the metrics? I know he gets blocks and steals for fantasy.
Right.
But do defenses play better with him protecting the middle? I don't know.
I mean, he's never really been on a good enough team for me to, like, actually I can't confirm, like, if he's good or bad defensively just because his teams were always getting blown out. So, I mean, is he just a really good individual post defender on a bad team, or is he just a part of the problem on a really bad defensive team? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, also, what does he do for the Bulls? He gives us like an option to throw at Embiid when we play them in the first round, maybe. It's like for 2 months, that just doesn't seem worth stunting Wendell's growth over. Yeah. I'm not saying I don't want to win now.
The question is more valuable to a playoff run than Otto Porter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my thing. It's like, but I argue for Drummond, you know, because he's my fantasy player, so I have a interest in him going to a team where he gets a lot of minutes. And the last, I think it was 3 weeks in Cleveland where they were still playing him, it was painful to watch him on the court. Like, there was multiple times where, like, was it Torian Prince who ended up there from in that Nets trade? He grabbed a rebound right next to Drummond, and Drummond looked like he was about to punch him. Because he's a stat shaver, right? He's like, I get these rebounds. I get, like you were talking about, he gets blocks and he gets steals. But he gets those type of, like, you know, it's like the, is it Tyson Chandler, the help side block? It's like, oh, he gets 3 blocks a game. And it's like, yeah, because he comes off his man and, you know, gets those lazy weak side blocks or whatever. So he's not a great player. But so far as if you can just give up one player and not really invest in anything else, why not?
Okay. I'm not going to be mad about it if it happens. I just, it doesn't excite me. I don't know what else is out there, but meh.
I feel like it's pretty, like, slim pickings. I mean, this year in the buyout game, I mean, the crown jewels were, what, Blake and possibly Drummond? Maybe, is Kevin Love coming back this year? I feel like he's got to be a buyout candidate, right?
They want to trade him. They want assets. They're still
nobody's going to give up assets.
Is that like in a week? Is the deadline in like a week or is it in like a month? I don't know how it works this year. Oh, it's the 25th. So it's still a couple weeks away. I mean, there's going to be plenty of movement. Like, you know, like people are targeting Harrison Barnes and some other dudes like that. I don't know.
Black Falcon.
Yes.
I love him. Why not?
North Carolina's own. Take that, killer.
Yeah. Remember when he blew that 2016 finals because he just, like, didn't really play well, Carl?
No, for sure. No, I mean, you know, he was the pariah for sure in that. You know, but I don't hold ill will toward the man, you know. And, you know, Oladipo, I think, is going to get traded too.
I see him in Miami. I feel like I keep hearing Oladipo to Miami too much for there not to be, like, some truth to that.
It just feels like, who are they, like, these teams, like, Miami's always in every trade rumor, but it feels like they have to give up Hero really to make any of these deals work. And it's hard to see them doing that right now. I don't know. I guess they could.
I mean, I don't know if I'd give up Hero for Oladipo. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, I like Oladipo. Don't get me wrong, but Hero is younger. And at this point, his upside is a lot higher.
Weren't they like in the Harden sweepstakes, but they weren't sure if they wanted to give up Hero? Like, if they're not going to give up Hero for the Harden sweepstakes, they're not giving up for Oladipo, who has been killing my fantasy team by not playing well, so, or playing at all, frankly.
That's the same thing with
no bias.
And the Philly deal breaker was supposedly Maxey, right? It's like all these teams balked on James Harden over these hilariously insignificant pieces.
Which is absolutely insane. I mean, look, if I'm saying it's insane, it's got to be crazy. Like, because nobody likes hating on James Harden like I do. But even, I mean, come on, you got to admit, he's like an all-time great. Like, you give up Tyler Hero to get James Harden. You give up Maxey to get James Harden. Like, that's...
You give up Michael Porter to get James Harden. I mean, like, all these guys that theoretically could have been thrown out there, that there were rumors that people didn't want to trade them, are crazy. Harden was wearing a fat suit, though, that last week in Houston, so...
Yeah, he came out, he shit, look, either he has the greatest metabolism of all time, or he was wearing a fat suit, because there's no way.
I honestly, this is a bad take, and I've been thinking about this, I know it's wrong, but I feel like he's one of those guys who can look out of shape or in shape, like, depending on the angle of the camera and the clothes he's wearing, somehow. It's like... I don't know. Something weird happened there because he definitely looked like a big boy in Houston. And then 3 days later, he looked slim again. But you know, there's people like sometimes they look slim, sometimes they look bigger. They have like this sort of weird body type. He's one of those guys, I feel like, where he's solid, but I don't know.
No.
In the NBA today is really the whole deal.
Yeah, I got you. Because I mean, there are.
Carl's face when I said that.
Look, in Houston, it looked like the jersey was, like, stretching. And he looks, like, lean and, like, just floating out there in Brooklyn. I don't know what's going on.
Can we give some credit? So I'm not saying that you guys disliked him in this way or anything, but it's like Harden's the worst to watch. Like, Harden's the villain. All he wants to do is pound the ball and not, like, involve his team. And it's about Harden. And, like, I think that... Can we now, in retrospect, I know it's soon to say that that was the system that he was placed into in Houston, and now in this other system, he's like a point guard in Brooklyn right now? I mean, he looks like a different player. He's not doing that anymore. If you guys watch the games,
I will admit that he is playing the exact opposite of how he was in Houston, and I can watch him a little bit. He still does that, you know, stupid, you know, lean in, begging for foul style shot, but you know, for the most part,
it's a tool in the toolkit. Yeah, it's a tool in the toolkit. It's not 48 minutes of that.
It works. I mean, it works. He gets the call, so like I can't knock it too much. But yeah, he shut me up. I was like, I didn't think it would work. I thought it was. I still don't think long term that this is gonna work. But now it's just for the defense.
So you don't believe in Brooklyn? I don't think they're coming out of the East.
I think they can get to the finals. I think in the finals, they're going to have to play some defense. And I don't think that squad, as currently constructed, can play defense. Since Harden came over, they have the best offensive rating of all time, but also the worst defensive rating of all time. It's the greatest stat of all time.
They're fun to watch. I mean, I know it's never happened before, but all they need to do is play well for four games in a seven-game series. Like, if you're talking about matching up against who? The Lakers? I guess that would give them the most trouble, but who covers those three guys? Like, who on the Lakers covers those two guys? LeBron matches up Durant. And then what? Like, we've got KCP on Harden and Schroeder on Irving. Like, I'd take those guys in those matchups. I'd take the Nets outscoring the Lakers potentially 4 out of 7 times. Like, I think it's winnable. I did not believe in this experiment. But as I watch it, like, they just run everybody out of the building, even good defenses. It's like they just score more than you. So I'm not saying I believe in them, but it just feels like what are these matchups? Like, let's say they face Utah in the finals, which is a whole other conversation.
Look, if they face Utah, I am rooting for Brooklyn to win in three, okay? I want no goodwill to come to Utah.
You got to like Donovan Mitchell, though, right?
And he needs to get out of Utah immediately. I want to cheer for him, but I can't.
Utah's the worst.
Karl Malone has salted the earth. There will no goodwill grows from the soil of Utah.
Salt Lake City. It literally does not grow there.
And it's Karl Malone's fault. That's right. I said it.
Well, you just hate Utah, or you don't think that they're going to get out of the second round?
I don't think they're getting out of the second round. Also, I hate Utah.
I just don't like what series in the West will they have the best player on the court? Not the Clippers, not the Lakers, not the Nuggets.
Okay. Maybe the Mavericks? What series? What series?
Then you think Mitchell's better than Luka?
What series did the 2014 Spurs have the best player on the court? What series did the 2004 Detroit Pistons have the best player on the court?
The two exceptions to the rule.
Okay, but like this team could advance past the second round.
Could. Unlikely.
Like I'm looking at these matchups. So first of all, they would probably be playing Dallas or Golden State in the first round. They could win that series. In the second round, they'd be playing what? The Clippers or the Blazers or the Nuggets? They could win that series. Can they beat the two LA teams? I don't know, but again, wait, back to what I was saying. I got totally sidetracked. Is that, let's say they get to the finals. How do they match up with Brooklyn? Who's covering any of these guys on that team? Like, who's their – do they have a defensive, like, specialist? Like, is Clarkson on the court? That's a problem.
He's the instant offense. You got Royce O'Neal.
Okay.
Who else?
They got a nice little –
yeah, Clarkson is killing it offensively, but he's not going to clamp anybody up. I mean,
I guess Conley could maybe do an okay job. I mean, he's older, but he could do an okay job on Kyrie or something. I don't know.
I feel like he's got some crafty moves like that can slow Kyrie down. I don't see anybody slowing down KD.
No. But that's going to be true for every team. Every team is not going to be able to slow down KD. A healthy KD is the key to unlock everything.
I mean, so if they play the Lakers, do they put AD on KD?
Have to.
And then you put LeBron on. You got to put LeBron on Harden at that point, and the corpse of whoever on Kyrie. And pray having a Kyrie night.
And Kyrie's going to do Kyrie 4 out of 7 games, you know? Is it enough to win 4 out of 7 games? I don't know, but
yeah,
he's thriving right now.
I mean, the key is to slow down KD. Because I've not seen James Harden do it on that stage, so I don't know, can he do it on that stage? Kevin Durant is a guy who can do it on that stage and can win it on that stage.
Yeah. I think with the pressure off Harden and Kyrie, that's what's really making them both thrive.
Yeah.
We certainly don't have any proof that Harden can do it on that stage when it's his team, but he's a great guy to be able to go to in the last 5 minutes of a random game 3 when he hasn't been on the ball for, you know, 130 straight minutes in 5 days. So,
right.
Who knows? Wait, I have big surprise of the season. I did not think that Zach LaVine would be a top 3 offensive player in the NBA this year.
Bam.
Don't at me.
Yeah, Zach is on some revenge season stuff. He heard you talking, and Zach said, I'm finna shut him up.
Can you tell me the list of people that are better offensive players than him right now in the last 5 minutes of games? I think he's one of the leading scorers in the last 5 minutes of games, but who would you rather have right now in the last 5 minutes of a regular season game? Like, I can name a few guys like Dame, Steph,
Harden,
KD,
Luka.
Not so far this year.
I'm still taking it. This is a vote of confidence. I'm not looking at stats.
Oh, no, I love Luka. He's a better player than LaVine, but he has not been a better offensive player than LaVine, like scorer than LaVine in the last 5 minutes of the game. He's got the volume, but his shooting is terrible so far.
Yeah.
He's out of shape. Let's just say what it is. Luka's playing his way into shape, and I don't blame him. The bubble was, it was goofy. But LaVine, I'll take over. Whatever. We got him top five.
Right. No, you're right. He's having he's silencing the doubters this year for sure. Get this man some help.
He shoots a three, it looks like it's going in. He gets to the basket at will. He's going to the free throw line, and he's playmaking. I mean, he's getting other guys involved. Get him some help. I agree.
I mean, underrated thing, too, is he tries on defense. He's not, all
– still bad at it.
He's not all defense, but he's going to get in front of guys and, do enough to, make it worth your while to have him on the floor. He's not a total liability on the defense, I feel.
Was it on this podcast that we had a conversation about that LaVine, or have I just had this conversation with everyone preseason, that LaVine can't be the best player on a winning team or on a championship?
Yes, I feel like we discussed that.
I 10,000% still believe that.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking at, I would argue, you could make a case that he would be the best player on the Jazz. You would be wrong because Gobert's defense, but you could make the argument that he'd be the best player on that team that's a one seed. I'm just looking at these teams right now that are, at the top of their divisions, and he definitely could be the best player on Boston right now, the way they're playing. These are teams that are competing, right? Phoenix, I would maybe take him over Devin Booker. If you put him on that team instead of Booker, and that team is a two seed in the West, which it certainly could be with him instead of Booker, he would be the best player on that team. I agree Chris Paul makes it go, but he's still the best player on that team. So I think he could be the best player on a legitimate contender, maybe not a championship team, but on a contender, if the fit was right.
Ooh, Devin Booker, hot take.
No, I mean, the Devin Booker's a fit. His numbers, I mean, he's not even in the All-Star game this year, but that's just because of CP3 choking him out, right? I mean, it's easy. LaVine is doing the Harden thing, right? And Harden didn't get it done, right? He had to go to another team and sign up with two other superstars. So I think LaVine, in his current form, would be the same thing as Harden, because he's doing a worse version of what Harden did for 8 years, right?
Sure. I'm not saying he could be the best player. He could drag a bad team to a championship. He would need a Pippen, certainly. You know what I mean? He's not LeBron, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, Dame taking his team to a three seed with CJ McCollum injured for half the year. Could LaVine do something like that? Maybe.
Right.
If he had the right pieces around him, not a bunch of 22-year-olds,
Right. Andre Drummond.
Get out of here with that. Nobody wants him putting up stats for your fantasy team, Carl.
We're not talking fake teams today? Oh, too bad.
So that's my hot take.
No, actually, I hear you. I hear
possible
you.
Possible best player on a winning team. I mean, he is the best player on a team that could finish as the sixth seed right now.
Right.
They're very close.
And I'd like to point out, though, that it was I who was so high on the Bulls that he had them in the playoffs. But you know what? I'm going to let y'all go on.
Wait, we need to go to the record for that, because I don't remember what you said, but you made some sort of over-under win total pick that we laughed at for the
Bulls. Oh, yeah.
Think it's within reach. Whatever it was is within reach. I think you said 43 wins, and it was an 82-win season. So that'd be what, 36 or something?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not as ridiculous now as it was then.
Certainly possible.
It's reasonable right now.
Good take.
And if they get to 36, baby, I'm going to be unbearable. I'm letting it be known right now.
I'm with it. Invite me to that party. Tell me off. I want to be there. I want those 36 wins.
I like the Bulls. I feel like I wouldn't go on and and shit on the Bulls for no reason.
No, they're fun.
They're young. This is the new GM's first trade deadline, so we'll see. If they do anything, if they stand pat, who knows?
I mean, even if they stand pat, I think we're seeing, like, with the Bulls, if you have just, like, a competent coach, like, how much of a difference that makes.
They seem to like him.
Yeah.
They like playing for him. Again, like you said, though, it's like the bar is pretty low. It's like, this is the best coach we've ever played for. Did you see the last guy? <You know? laughs>
Yeah, Billy Donovan just like walked in and like took a bat to the work clock, and he immediately became the best coach these guys have ever played for.
Well, what game was that where he benched all the starters except for like Levine and one other guy?
There was like Donovan did or Boylan?
Hmm? No, Donovan Billy Donovan. Boylan? Donovan. He did. He benched the guys who started like halfway through the season this year. And I was like, that's something that none of the other coaches would have done. Like, he benched people and everybody agreed with it. And I was like, that's right. You just got to know the temperature of your own team.
Well, I mean, he also did it, like, in a way that was – it made sense basketball-wise, not on some old, like, well, I'm going to teach these guys a lesson. Like, this is fucking Hoosiers. Like, no, it's the NBA. Like –
Yeah, because I think what Boylan did was like 1.5 minutes into a game, he benched the whole starting lineup. That's what Boylan did, and then he didn't bring them back in until the second half, and everyone was unhappy, to say the least, because they're not children, they're men.
Right.
Just a touch frustrated.
Yes. So, did you guys watch All-Star Sunday festivities?
I did.
Not at all.
I did. I actually liked it a lot. Like, just basically the time, like, just doing it all in one day, not stretching everything out. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the events that normally suck still sucked, and the ones that were fun were still fun. And I thought the game was actually pretty fun, even though it was a blowout kind of. But yeah, I agree. Three-point contest was unreal. This is probably an overdue take, but it's officially cool, like how we felt about the dunk contest when we were kids. That's how I now feel about the 3-point contest. It's like the thing I'm excited to watch. I don't get up to go to the bathroom during it, you know?
Well, and this year there wasn't like that guy that got like 6, you know, like everybody got over 20. Like it was exciting from beginning to end. So,
and well, the players that are in it reflect how popular it is. Like, look at who was in the dunk contest. I mean, I know Obi Toppin and Cassius Stanley and Anfernee Simons. Like, I don't dislike any of those three guys, but they're barely rotation players. Like, nobody will sign up for the dunk contest. But look who was in the 3-point contest. It was all the big names, you know? So they know what's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they got to get the scoring, like, taken care of in the dunk contest. Like, until that's... because they try to get too cute with it, and it just rubs guys. Like the whole Aaron Gordon, who the hell? Derek Jones. Yeah, that whole thing last year with D. Wade and the blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, that kind of rubbed people the wrong way, I feel.
Is it possible that the score, I mean, it matters, but like, is it possible that the scoring isn't why it's a problem? The problem is that nobody does it. Like, even if the scoring was crappy, if we had like Zion in the dunk contest, it'd be a good dunk contest.
Well, I feel like though, if they don't have any belief like in the scoring, why would I sign up for it? You know, like Zion's like, I can jump out the gym and, you know, do a dunk from the moon, but D Wade might see his homeboy, you know, Bam is in it and give me an 8.
Possibly. I mean, that's probably part of why it's not cool. I assume the reason the guys aren't doing it is because it's not cool. Because there's not like enough money in it for that to be the factor. So they just don't care for some reason. And
yeah.
Definitely a factor has got to be that the judging, whatever the scoring is, makes no sense. So.
You can only take an L. If you're like if you're a big name player and you participate and you win, fine. You know, LeBron's in the dunk contest, he wins, he's supposed to win. But if he doesn't win, then we're all looking at him like, why didn't you win the dunk contest? And I think this is also a YouTube thing. YouTube killed the dunk contest because you're no longer going against the three other dudes who are dunking with you. You're going against Josh Richardson, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter. Because all these kids now, like when we were young, we would just watch our dunk contest and be like, this is amazing. I never get to see this. And now these kids are watching the whole collection of the best dunks of all time. And that's so... the bar is just too high.
Kenny Smith had a good idea the other day. Well, a good point, excuse me, where he said, like, who was it? I think it was Cassius Stanley did a dunk where he bounced it between his legs and, you know, windmills. And he's like, yeah, that's a great dunk. But Zach LaVine did that in the layup line last week. Like, he's like, so, I mean, it's impressive, but it doesn't have that wow factor because we just had Zach LaVine doing it without, like, even really trying.
Yeah.
Well, this is what they need to do, like, you know, what people would do in practice, right? Before practice, it would be one dude would be standing, you know, near the free throw line, and then they would try to block the dude's shot. Just have the try to dunk on me contest.
No, that's going to cause too many fights.
And that, right, it would be like the XFL, right? It would be the scramble for that ball in the middle of the field and people are breaking legs and whatnot. No rules.
David West would come out of retirement for this.
Honestly, get some G League or YouTube guys to do that. I'd rather watch that than the dunk contest.
Imagine you get Rudy, right? Rudy Gobert's like, I'm finally going to cement myself as an elite shot blocker in this league. And whoever, Zion's dunking over, trying to dunk over Rudy. That would be, you would sign up for that.
Dude, everybody in the league would sign up to try to dunk on Rudy Gobert. Nobody likes Rudy Gobert. There's
so many problems with it. I mean, it's a fantasy for sure for us as fans, but no chance.
Now, which team do you feel like is most in need of a move in the trade deadline?
Well, you mean like, obviously, you mean like the team that is one move away from getting over some sort of hump, right?
Yes.
Denver.
I think Denver's the clear answer, but.
Right? I mean, because they've got all the pieces. So what is the move, though? Is the move like a Harrison Barnes, or is the move going after like Bradley Beal? I don't, like, they'd have to give up Michael Porter to get anyone really good. So
that's fine.
They're Porter's, not doing that.
Porter's out 50% of the season every year. I think you can give him up if you're getting like a Bradley Beal.
Yes. Oh, I agree. I guess for Bradley Beal, I just feel like, yeah. I
don't also, know. He's an anti-vaxxer, so.
That's right.
He was at the Capitol too, wasn't he? Wasn't that why he got all that COVID exposure?
Probably. Hey, he was going to stop the steal, baby.
I would say Denver. Are you guys, like, it's not like the Lakers are going to make a move, but they don't need to make a move. They just need AD to be healthy.
Right.
I mean, just to be different, I guess I'll say Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is but Kemba?
I don't think Boston is one move away from a championship. I think they're much farther away than that right now.
Yeah.
I don't believe in Boston right now. And I love Jaylen Brown. He's one of my favorite players, and I like Tatum. But it just doesn't feel like, even if Kemba was good, it's just like, how are they beating, like, Philly?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm just trying to be contrarian and pick somebody that's not Denver.
Is there anyone in the West, like Portland? Could be Portland. I know nobody ever believes in Portland because they never quite get over the hump. But could they be one move away? Who would that move be? I don't even know.
CJ coming back.
Who are the big names out there? Who are the big names out there? Beal, what, Lowry maybe? Is there any, like, Drummond, I guess?
Yeah,
any others?
Buddy
Hield.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Buddy Hield could be. Are they like are they trying to trade him, or is that just like,
that's what they probably should do.
I don't know where Sacramento's head is ever at.
Right. Yeah, no, nobody knows, but Sacramento, the idea was they weren't going to be sellers, even though they should clearly sell.
I'm just thinking, oh, Al Horford?
Yeah.
You know, I forgot he was even playing this season.
Yeah, I think he's in Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not playing bad either.
Vucevic?
They're not trading him, though.
Or Vucevic?
They're just – he's the only guy in the NBA who wants to be in Orlando, so they better not trade him.
Yeah.
But they have to, man. That team is done. Like, the team is going nowhere, and they could actually get something for him now. And is his contract up soon? Is that why his name's out there? That I don't know, but
no, I don't think so. I think people are just like, he's on a team that sucks and he's in a small market, so we're just gonna start the rumor
and poach him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that. I don't think there's any reason.
Yeah, I guess no. Yeah, I see his contract. He's through 2023, so.
Aaron Gordon.
I mean, they should deal him if they can. I mean, I like him, but.
But I mean, the original question is what team needs to make a move the most? And I think the teams that need to make a move are Denver, Portland, I guess Boston, Brooklyn, you could argue, especially if you think the Blake Griffin move didn't do anything, but they do need to get some kind of big man defensive player, I think, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They need to trade Dinwiddie's contract.
Okay, good luck.
Well, no, I mean, because people want him because he's a restricted free agent next year. So if you want to sign up for the Dinwiddie restricted free agent thing, I think the salaries match for PJ Tucker or somebody like that, where it's like, you know, Houston, they're going to be sellers. So you say, yeah. You know, there's history there with University of Texas, right? Didn't PJ Tucker go to Texas and KD went to Texas?
Oh, yeah, I think that's right. Isn't he washed, though? Do you think PJ Tucker has any miles left?
I mean, I know he's got that, like, that want to, you know what I mean? Like, he's pretty, like, damn relentless. I just think it'd be great if he's, you know, not playing center.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they, you know, could get him somewhere where he's guarding, you know, wings again, that'd be
great.
Yeah,
but like that wouldn't be in Brooklyn. Brooklyn, he's going to be defending centers for 10 minutes a game if he can stay on the court.
That's the Blake role now, though, right? Small ball five.
Oh, that is just not going to work. There's no way Blake's got anything left in the tank. I guess all he needs to give them is what, 15 minutes a game? I don't know.
I think he's got 15 minutes in him.
But as like a post, but like think about where his game is now. It's on the perimeter, like at the elbows. He's not a dunker. He's not a post player. So like, it's just hard to imagine how that's going to work. I might, you know, this could be something I definitely get proven wrong on because he could still be Blake Griffin, could be somewhere inside there. But
you know what?
He had seven knee surgeries.
It's something.
He's had quite a few, yeah. He hasn't dunked in 2 years, so.
Sad.
Which is an insane stat. Like, if you would have told me, like, when he's jumping over a Kia, like, that guy towards the tail end of his career won't even dunk, like, once. Like, even Vince Carter would break out the bunnies, you know, every now and again. But I'll take – here's a name that probably will be on the trade block. Myers Leonard, everybody.
You mean his contract will be on the
You know what's funny? I didn't even see that whole Twitter controversy. I was on Twitter and I saw that Myers Leonard was trending and I clicked on it and the first tweet that came up was one from like, you know how it like aggregates it all, was one from 20 minutes before it broke where there were like trade rumors with him. And I was like, well, that's I doubt he's gonna be that wanted now.
Slow day if he's thought I was like, what the hell is he? Did he say something stupid? Like, that was the first I thought it would probably be about like kneeling for the flag or something again.
Right.
We've seen him
do that dance. You know, I feel like an idiot because, first of all, he went to U of I. So there was a part of me that wanted to like him, even though he was totally garbage at U of I and then got drafted super high and he didn't play well when he was in college. But then when he did that standing thing with the other kneeling guys, I remember Googling it and reading the story and he was like, I really do want to kneel. I respect the people who are kneeling, but like I have a brother who's a cop or a soldier or something.
He's in the army or blah, blah, blah.
And I was like, oh man, like I still don't like this guy, but you know, it sounds like he was thoughtful about it. Now I'm an idiot because I didn't realize he hates me personally because I'm Jewish. Or I would never have been like giving him the benefit of the doubt in my head at 1 a.m. one night.
I was like, man, what a, like, That's like an out the bag, like slur to throw out there. Like he paused, thought about it, and then threw it out. I'm like, whoa.
Wait, we have an expert here who can weigh in on this. Carl, have you seen the clip? He's playing no. Call of Duty on Twitch.
Yes.
I don't know what either of those terms mean.
No, you know, all these guys
You're
play
watching
shooters.
Watching this, Carl, did you sense his frustration? Like, could you connect with him being so frustrated that an anti-Semitic slur slips out? Could that situation have called for something so aggressive? Go, Carl.
No, no. But, you know... It's like all these NBA guys play on, not all of them play on Twitch, but like, you know, Zach LaVine has been known to play some Fortnite COD, Aaron Gordon, the Cat D-Lo connection, right? This is like, you know, you need to trade for all these players because like the squares are not going to have exposure. So like this is the GMs have been slow to this, right? You got to get these guys who aren't going to be out in the club in Miami, get in touch with right. 50 people. But no, I mean... You know,
wait, you'd rather have the guy who's making anti-Semitic slurs on video games than the guy out at the club getting drunk or whatever?
No slurs, bet? Just playing video games. You don't have to drop slurs to be playing video games.
Okay, I didn't know. I'm not
you weren't sure.
I thought this is just what everyone does. I didn't know. I thought to play Call of Duty, you have to have like a whole lineup of anti-Semitic slurs.
No, not to get too deep into it, but like Twitter, Twitch is still kind of the they're still figuring out the rules, right? So it's like you have chat bans, you have channel bans, like people will go off for 24 hours, they'll demonetize your channel, you know, and then people try to find clever ways to get around the filters in your chat so that they can still spam things that are inappropriate. So, and some guys will get banned for saying something and some won't. So it's kind of the Wild West as so far as regulation. It's not like, you know, the NBA where somebody curses out an official and they get a $25,000 fine the next day. It's still kind of ambiguous. So, and he wasn't streaming, I don't think. He probably knew he was on stream, but it wasn't even like him. He was just playing I don't know how famous the streamer was, but, you know, you shouldn't be saying that anytime, anywhere, any place. No excuse.
Well, it's... All right, Carl's on the record. Carl's on the record. Anti-Semitism from Carl on the record.
Seeing some of the takes on it have been quite hilarious because, like, there's one guy, he's a writer. Man, I'm trying to pull him up here and my damn Twitter feed keeps screwing up on me. yeah, Dan Feldman, who writes for NBC Pro Basketball Talk, said, "What Myers Leonard said was bad. A lot of the takes about it are also bad." And I'm like, all the takes are anti-Semitism is wrong. What's right. bad about that? I thought that was something we could agree on.
Wait, I saw one weird spin-off conversation where the people were calling it racist, and then people were getting on those people being like a whole conversation about, well, Jews aren't a race, so it's not racist. So they were like kind of defending Myers. Like, I don't know. Twitter's a weird place.
It sure is.
It can be a cesspool at times.
Is he canceled?
No,
but he came. You heard his justification, right? He said he didn't know that it was a slur.
Oh, that's such a classic.
Yeah, but like B-Top said, he paused, he thought about it, and he used the word intentionally.
Look, I've played video games online and been getting my ass kicked. I've never mistakenly stumbled onto a slur.
Listen, if you mistakenly stumble on a slur like that, it's because you use it regularly. Like, it may have slipped out, but that's not something that slips out unless it's part of your vocabulary.
Oh, it's so all, it's heavy. You have
used that word multiple times, even if he didn't mean to use it on the stream.
Oh, yeah. He's just mad that he got it on tape.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
He's going to have to go to rehab with Papa John, who's currently doing
I don't know if he has that much... NBA player's career is not that long. Can he really lose 20 months of his career to stop saying that word?
He's got to try. Oh, damn bigots, man. They're fucking hilarious.
They're brutal. I just can't wait for the think piece about how, like, he was how cancel culture has gone too far and he was canceled. And then it's like Kaepernick on the side just making a face.
His brother fought for this country and now he's been canceled.
Right, exactly.
Everything like, his brother fought for.
Yeah, pass on that take. We could just be done with Myers Leonard. I don't mind if that dude's gone, but obviously.
I
kind of have a personal stake in what he said on top of everything else, so he's gone for me.
I feel like I should have had the Klay Thompson sound by a pulled up where he's like, I don't know, he's probably mad because he's going to be out the league in a little bit.
He for sure is. Who's going to bring that guy in the locker room now? Remember, like, Mike Muscala's dad said some racist shit, and it was hard for him to get a job, right?
Yeah.
These borderline guys, it's like, don't.
Dude, Mickey Aronson, who owns the Heat, is Jewish.
Yeah. That's bad.
Gotta show up in the Heat facility again.
This is a conversation that doesn't matter at all. I don't know why it's popping in my head. This guy should be canceled, but I had trouble understanding his NBA career in general. Because it was like he was sought after, he signed the big contract, he had like a great stretch of games, and then he was just out of the rotation for months, and then he was just back in the rotation, and he has this relatively big contract for a guy that averages 3 points a game and plays every other night. It was his career was always real weird because he seemed like the perfect player for this era, right? He's like a stretch four that's a good 3-point shooter that's below average defensively, but not like so bad. His career was always confusing to me. I'm glad it's over. I don't need the headache of trying to figure out Myers Leonard's career anymore.
Yeah, I feel like he became a free agent at that weird time when everybody was getting big deals. Like, Kent Bazemore got an $80 million deal, and they're like, well, we got $60 million. I guess we can give it to Myers here.
Yeah.
He is here.
Cancel.
Oh, and this is the Riley thing, too. He, like, signed all those guys to those perfect level tradable contracts, those $12 to $15 million a year contracts.
Josh Richardson, what's that? Something Johnson, Tyler Johnson, all those guys, I think, or someone Johnson. Yeah. Hello, Riley.
Who you guys got as your rookie of the year so far? I feel like we should be unanimous on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's LaMelo, right?
Yes, it's LaMelo, no doubt.
Okay. I think we all had the bad take that LaMelo wasn't going to be that good, right?
I thought he was going to be good. I didn't think that he'd be this good. I thought Lonzo might be better than him. Yeah, that's my bad take, but.
Nah, I don't know that it's so bad. This year, Lonzo's really good too.
Yeah. But I feel like LaMelo's showing like his ceiling is a lot higher.
Yes.
I think the thing with LaMelo is I think we could all picture LaMelo being the kind of guy that like puts up highlight plays and decent stats every once in a while, but is horribly inefficient and is on a losing team, right? But this LaMelo that we're seeing is not that. This LaMelo makes rookie mistakes and he has some rough nights, but he's out there like he plays with joy, man. It seems like, right? He's out there. Yeah. His teammates seem to like him. He gets them involved. He's there in crunch time making good decisions. I don't know. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's leading all rookies in points, rebounds, assists, efficiency, steals. He's getting it done.
Okay, consensus. Before we move on from the rookie conversation, I just want to say Patrick Williams was probably the biggest ever snub for the rookie sophomore game that didn't happen that I've ever seen. Because that guy's averaging double-digit points. He's shooting like 50%. He plays great defense. I can't comprehend how he wasn't on that team.
And he went in the top 10, too.
Agreed. And I was completely wrong on him. I thought the Bulls whiffed on it. But, hey, this is why I'm sitting in my basement and not drafting for the Chicago Bulls. So,
but you're in your basement, and Patrick Williams is – being snubbed from a rookie team.
We both have our struggles.
All right, that's my final take on rookies. Just wanted to say that.
I got one more. I like Tyrese Halliburton. That's who I wanted the Bulls to draft, you know, but, you know, didn't happen.
I feel like he was a guy that everyone was high on before the draft. Everyone's high on when he was drafted, and everyone's high on now. And somehow he was not a top three or four pick. I just don't understand it. The dude is clearly great and was – everyone was saying that before the draft. What did he get, 12th or 9th or something?
Yeah, he fell to Sacramento, so.
Oh, they're so lucky. That's why people are talking about moving Hield, because you get him out of the way so Halliburton can get in the lineup more.
Yeah.
And wasn't he crying about being disrespected about the contract? Like, Buddy was pissed about the contract extension negotiations.
Yeah. He was pissed. He's so like, nobody him out. He's basically like, don't nobody want to come here. Give me that money. I mean, and he's good? Not wrong.
Is Buddy Hield good? Or is he just, not that it's bad, but is he just a guy that can get 20 points on a bad team? But great. But I just mean, is he actually, could he be on a good team?
Yeah, he's Joe Harris. Shoot an elite percentage from three and play serviceable defense.
Do you think he thinks he's Joe Harris?
I haven't watched him that much, but I don't think he tries to play make. I think he stays right in his lane,
I feel like he thinks he's like Bradley Beal.
Uh-oh. Okay, see, I haven't seen him.
This is what I'm saying. Like, part of being Joe Harris is knowing that you're Harris.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think he has that awareness.
There are plenty of... Correct. I think and that whole talk about him and the contract extension, which is fine, get your money, but I think it also indicates what he thinks his role is.
That's fair. I think that's what Atlanta's coming up against Collins too. Collins thinks he's the number one banana.
Yeah.
And he's not.
Does Collins suck?
He doesn't suck. He thinks he's better than he is, but like this is like the Kanye thing, man. Am I confident or am I arrogant?
Yeah.
I got to believe in myself, right? So, I mean, I think Collins is in that mold right now where he's like, I don't want the $90 million extension. I want a max deal after the season. I don't care where I get it. I'm the dude.
So, do you guys watch? I don't watch Atlanta that much. Does he show, like, because I look at the stat lines just from fantasy, and he seems like he's not the kind of guy that consistently shows up. It seems like he has a lot of nights where he has like 11 and 5, and then he'll have like a 30 and 11 or a 25 and 12, but it's not every night. Like to be a star in this league, you have to do it every night. I guess he's still young. I haven't watched him enough. The few times I've watched him have been a good time and a bad time, you know? So
I think
if I was Atlanta, I'd get off that contract.
Right. Imagine he played with like a pure point guard, right? Pair him with Kyle Lowry and like have somebody who's going to feed him and get him good looks, because he's not great at creating his own shot, but Trae Young isn't really trying to feed everybody. He gets his 7 assists, but they're more like incidental assists. He's not making sure that Collins eats or nothing. So we got to watch these guys switch a couple teams, you know. Like Collins is not long for Atlanta, and we'll probably get our answer at this next stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's just going to be the guy though.
No. But he's a good like guy that a good guy throws lobs to and could maybe catch you a double double every night once he settles in. Certainly.
If he tried to go out on his own, he would do a
Jeremy
up in Detroit.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant. Yeah.
Like what he's doing right now, where he's putting up numbers, but the team's gonna be terrible.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure, you have a bigger role than you did in Denver, but like your team's still gonna be bad. So are you a good player?
Wait, I'm going down a road with Jeremy Grant real quick. I've watched a couple of Detroit games, sue me. Anyway, I've watched the feed, and from what I am watching, I think Jeremy Grant can be a very good player on a team that wins games. I think he is getting a lot more touches there, but he's super efficient. Right. He takes good shots, and his team is really bad. Like, the Pistons are really bad. They're, like, hard to watch.
Right.
And Jeremy Grant, I'm not saying on a good team he would be that good, but it's not like he's not out there shooting 30 shots a game and, you know, scoring 20 points. He's still efficient.
Right. So, well, we already saw that he can be like,
I like him.
He can be a good player on a good team with Denver. I mean, he was a difference maker for them. His role was tiny.
I'm saying he could have a bigger role on a team. Like on a team. That team. Yeah. On a legit team. it seems like the way he's playing this year, you would think he'd be the kind of guy who was putting up 6 for 21 stat lines and getting 20 points a game. It's not like that, man. The dude is getting good looks. He's doing some playmaking. Like, he's an efficient dude. You could do worse than Jeremy Grant for 20 million. Definitely worth 20 million.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a very good contract they got him on. So yeah, no, I agree. Who we got is, I don't know, let's say defensive player of the year.
Ben Simmons, right?
That's who I got.
It's got to be, kind of, right? Because what are the other options? Gobert,
Rudy.
Giannis?
Rudy.
Yeah, Gobert. Maybe Embiid is in there in the conversation. Embiid just takes too many plays off for me, though.
It's just like I'm always inclined in my mind to give it to like a perimeter defender because that's the flashiest. But those guys who are competing every year against the big guys can't cover all five positions usually.
Right.
Like, I love Kawhi. He can cover a 2 or 3 and maybe cover a 1. But like, Ben Simmons can guard all five positions. He's a unicorn in that way. Yeah, he's a defensive unicorn. Pippen. He's him and Pippen. That's the comparison I would make defensively.
I mean, I gave him a lot of hell when we were talking about his offensive game, but his defensive game, it totally warrants his draft position. Like, he's a game changer out there. Like you said, can guard 1 to 5. He rebounds well. He's, let's see here, going to the numbers. He's tied for 4th in steals, averaging 1.5. He leads the league in deflections per game and loose balls recovered per game. I'm going deep analytics here.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So you're doing all the little things.
Daryl Morey would be proud.
I don't have it on a spreadsheet,
is,
though.
And is proud.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think Ben Simmons. I feel good about Ben Simmons as my defensive player of the year.
I certainly agree with that. I mean, if Utah continues to dominate and Philly fades a little and it's that defense, then I guess Gobert could get back in that conversation. But it's Simmons right now, right? And then always Giannis is always in that conversation. Yeah. But I don't think this year –
And AD belongs in this conversation because when it's a meaningful game, AD puts the lockups on whoever he wants.
Yeah.
And he can actually stay with guys on the perimeter. Like, he's not going to guard him out there. But if he switches onto a guard off a pick and roll, he generally can stay in front of him. So, I mean, I think AD is a little bit undervalued for his defense because he's real good too. But he's not healthy. He's not playing enough games.
Wait, I just pulled up a stat that I don't completely understand. Defensive win shares. Gobert. Oh, man.
Don't go baseball on us.
Gobert. So you'd be surprised. The top five in defensive win shares don't make sense to me, but it's Gobert, LeBron, Giannis, and then it's Julius Randle, Embiid, and Jokic. And then Ayton, Miles Turner, Bam, Capella, AD. And you have to go down all the way to 16 to get to Ben Simmons. I don't know what defensive win shares is, though.
Yeah, because Aiden is not good defensively. I don't know what is going on there.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's a weird thing. Yeah, I don't know. An estimate of the number of wins contributed by a player due to his defense. Who knows? Anyway, I'm still with Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Good with it.
Now, I heard Julius Randle there, which is going to lead me to my coach of the year, Tibbs.
Oh.
He's got the Knicks at 500.
There we go.
It's good, and he deserves to be in the conversation, but if it was like he's got the T-Wolves at 500 with probably a worse team, even though there's talent out there, you wouldn't have that buzz. It's because it's the Knicks. So I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I love Tibbs, but
the Knicks are – we thought they were going to be trash, like just straight-up dumpster fire. And he's got him out there playing hard, looking competent. Like, their best player is Julius Randle. Like, that's not a 500 team right there. Like, if they can finish at 500, he's got to be in the conversation. Got to be.
Right. And second best player is R.J. Barrett, right?
Who?
R.J. Barrett or Derrick Rose? I mean,
exactly.
I mean, that he's got him playing for him, and that's what a coach is all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tibbs always gets the best out of who he's got. I think the other person that the traditional voters are going to vote for is Quinn Snyder, right? If the record holds up.
Quinn Snyder. You can hate Utah, but you got to give him credit for pulling that team together.
I like Quinn Snyder. The Jazz are top five in offense and defense. But, you know, like I said, my anti-Jazz bias shines through. I'm not a perfect voter, so.
Okay, what about Monty Williams?
Oh, I like Monty Williams. Yeah.
8-0 in the bubble. I know we're not counting the bubble, but he came out this year, and I mean, I know they got Chris Paul, and it was a little shaky at first, and he's getting them to mesh, so he's got to be in that conversation too.
That's CP3.
That's fine, that's fine. I mean, CP3 deserves the credit, but I'm just saying, Monty Williams. I mean, right. he got Booker and Ayton to take lesser roles, you know.
I feel like though Phoenix has a better roster than the Knicks. Like that to me is
true.
Is what it all comes down to. He's taking worse players and making them look competent.
What about Doc Rivers in Philly? Not that he doesn't have bad players, but we just watched this experiment like crash and burn for the last 3 years, and now it's like not crashing and burning. So just in terms of relativeness, I could see him being in the conversation too. It's early. They could still blow it in the playoffs, but yeah.
I didn't even consider Doc Rivers just because I feel like, and it's not fair to him, but I still had the Clippers collapse like on my mind. Like it's still too fresh. Not his build fault. On that,
Brett Brown sounds like a nice guy, but also sounds like a terrible coach. Like maybe just not having Brett Brown was enough to turn things around.
Right. There. Addition by subtraction, because that was somebody that should have been fired like 2 years ago. Like, I was glad to see he got a shot to coach him, even like when he was there during the whole losing the process. But you don't have to extend him once you see, like, all right, we gave him a chance with the good players. It's not working. We got to go get somebody that can coach.
And I'm going to take your shared spreadsheet login time, because you know who all the credit goes to in Philadelphia. It's Daryl Morey.
Listen, how is it not Daryl Morey?
No, you're right. No, I mean, I'm joking, but if they can get one more shooter, you know, that closing lineup is going to be scary, because Tobias Harris was the punchline of all of our bad contract jokes, and now he's a extremely 50, 40, serviceable 90. Player.
Yeah, he's serviceable. I think he's 50-40-90. I think he's close to 50-50-90.
Well, I always felt bad for Tobias because he's always been a good player, and it's not his fault that somebody said, hey, do you want $35 million a season?
Right.
What's he supposed to say?
Right.
Oh, man, we spent like 20 minutes ripping his contract last time, didn't we?
Well, we ripped his contract. We didn't rip him, though. Like, that's because we all would have taken that deal. Like, right. Whether we deserve it, it's better to be overpaid than underpaid.
Yes. Well, this is the problem with the NBA and how they need to loosen their restrictions a little bit and let you sign players for a higher percentage of the cap. The whole max contract thing is a failure. Right, like mm-hmm. capping, like LeBron James should get 80% of the cap. You should be able to pay them.
Why is there a cap?
Well,
I know it's part of the revenue sharing stuff too.
I mean, listen, you probably could speak more to this than I can, but you know, I mean, it works pretty well in baseball, and even the teams that are way under the way low payroll still compete somehow. So.
Yeah, what do you need a cap for? The only problem with not having a cap is there's only a certain amount of revenue, and I think that's how they determine. It's like $900 billion, so the teams get $450 billion or whatever, and that's where the cap somehow the cap right. is calculated with that. So I don't know. Wait, right. Before we get off Coach of the Year, Charlotte's coach, Borrego.
Yeah.
I mean, but
I don't think he'll win it, but like
he should get
Charlotte
some votes.
Charlotte was supposed to be bottom feeder this year. And they're a playoff team right now. Or I don't know, they're at least within striking distance. I don't remember, but oh yeah, they're in the seventh seed right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not gonna win it, but you gotta give him credit. LaMelo, I watched the Bulls game when he benched LaMelo 5 minutes into the game because he had six turnovers in like 5 minutes. And the next game he had LaMelo back out there motivated and playing well. So
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's a team that could use a trick. I don't know who they trade, but
What are they gonna do though? Because they don't want to give up the youth right now. It's a similar thing with the Bulls, where it's like you get a better guy who stunts the growth of one of your young guys. Like they're competitive. Like they could make the playoffs without a move, but there's no move that puts them over the top.
I mean, you know,
so it's almost like standing pat makes sense.
Well, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say it would have to be a point guard because they got LaMelo, Terry Rozier, Devontae Graham, and Malik Monk all at the point. So
I like all those guys.
I do too.
I like all four of them.
Yeah, I like them all too. It's just, but there's a log jam.
Mm-hmm.
They probably move Cody Zeller because he's getting paid $15 million this year.
That's contract they would have to move, but I don't know for who or to who.
I remember reading some
Porzingis trade talk that there was a bunch of teams looking at Porzingis. Has that died now, or because now I am not hearing that?
I mean, he's going to be a bargain if the Mavs move off of him, or like that, you know, because the Mavs have also registered some interest in Andre Drummond, so he could be part of that huge contract money.
Yeah,
but I don't know what team is going to sign up for Porzingis, unfortunately, right? Like his health is just not going to hold up.
Right. The only way a team's going to sign up is they're going to give crap back. Like, you have to take our crap because Porzingis is kind of crap right now.
But they'll still want crap. They'll still want assets.
Yeah, but then the trade won't happen. Like, why is Dallas – because who's going to trade something valuable for – something right now valuable for Porzingis? Nobody.
Right.
So why would – so why should – Dallas shouldn't do it then, you know?
Right.
Sorry, yeah. Just remember that Porzingis. You know, I've heard some Bulls rumors with him, and I was wondering where that was going.
Well, then we have Porzingis to the Warriors rumors there.
Yeah, I know. We haven't mentioned the Warriors yet. You know what they're going to do? What makes sense, and they're not going to do it, and I don't really want them to do it, is trading Kelly Oubre.
Why don't you want him to do it?
Because it's a full punt on this year. You know, I mean, Oubre, he was pretty bad the first month of the season, but he's really picked it up and he's playing well and he fits with the guys. But I mean, he's going to be
restricted. Why don't you want to punt on this season? What is it that you're trying to play for? Like
we have a generational talent on the team.
Yeah, but this isn't the year that, like, if you want to play for that generational talent, I know windows close quick, but you make a move to position yourself for next year because you're not competing for a title this year, but you have a generational talent on your team with a window of 2 to 3 years left. Probably, like, you got to be smart about it.
Right.
Gonna hang on to Oubre to try and get a six seed this year, or trade him to maybe get some pieces together when Clay gets back to like make a real run at something.
I just don't know who you trade for, because you don't want really young guys. You want like middling vets who are like 1 year from a jump. Yeah, I don't know. They're in purgatory. They're like one game outside of the playoffs.
It's good purgatory, man. You got an MVP candidate on that team. That team's fun to watch. I mean, B-Tom, did we crap on the Warriors, or did we just think they weren't going to be better than 500, which they're about right now? I don't remember what our take was.
I think I was a little bit higher on them than you were. I thought they'd be at like 500 in that six, seven range. I don't think you had them in the playoffs.
19
No,
and
18. No, I remember saying the ceiling was low.
You had the ceiling very low.
Yeah, I was like, maybe they're an 8 seed, right? But now it's looking like, who knows, they could be a 6 seed. I don't know.
I think I'm very happy, though, to see, like, rumors of Steph's demise were greatly exaggerated.
Right.
For sure.
The whole league's funner when he, you know, we want these elite players to play well.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody went like the Porzingis thing. Like when he was having his run in New York, that was so much fun. I'm not a Knicks fan, But like, I just want to see great players be great.
Yeah.
And when it's an injury like that takes them down, it's devastating.
Like Lynn Sanity. We all love Lynn Sanity.
Yes. Why you gotta do that?
Yes. You know, he's greater than a greater impact than Jackie Robinson.
No, I love Steph being great. He's fun. And I love the idea in the back of my head that there's still something left in Clay. Like that we could get one more Splash Brothers run, even if it's not a championship run, just a fun year where they win 50 games and give someone trouble in the second round and Clay has 30 points in a quarter. Like, I still want to see, like, I would love to see that one more time or two more times.
Seeing KD come back this year has given me a lot of hope for Clay. Is it the
same injury, the Achilles?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty, I don't think we'll see like Clay, but I think we could, if we can get like 85%, 90% of what Clay was, I'll be happy with that.
I don't see any reason that there would be a huge drop off offensively if he recovers well. Defensively, he was always an above average defender. I think those days are done, but he could still be fun to watch as a dude that scores 25 points with dribbling four times. You know, I don't see why that would go away.
Right.
Well, he's going to be entertaining regardless, just because he's an entertaining. Clay. I mean, him on commentary for that Pistons game was
incredible.
Fantastic.
He's such a goof.
And everybody loves him.
Now, how do you two Warrior neutrals feel about Draymond Green, the commentator? Like, I feel like he's done some great interviews this year, you know, about, I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm like, let me listen to Draymond talk a little bit. I love it personally.
I'm very pro Draymond as a commentator. Like, I like him. You know, on the court, he can be a little bit overrated, little crazy. Yes. But you know what? Just put a microphone in his hand. He's wildly entertaining.
It feels like it could go either way. He certainly has the potential to be fun in a Charles Barkley, Shaq kind of way, having crazy takes. But that can – you never know. These guys get out. They get some training. You never know where it's going to go. So I'm not 100% sold, but so far he's been funny when he does that stuff. So I like Trey.
If the bar is Shaq, he already cleared that. Shaq is terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. No question.
But did you guys, this isn't a Warriors related, but did you see Candace Parker
just
completely obliterate Shaq? Like, her and D Wade were just looking like, stop talking.
I was listening to some podcast with Barkley about something, or maybe it was an interview, and he was talking about like the relationship with Shaq. And he was like, here's the thing that Shaq doesn't understand, like basketball. Like, Shaq doesn't understand basketball. Shaq is so good that he never had to understand it. He understood what he needed to do. He understood his role on the team, but he never understood the bigger picture because he never had to. And that's why when they have these conversations about basketball, he just kind of like, his eyes glaze over when it goes to something that he doesn't fully get. It was funny to hear them rip him apart about pick and roll defense, though. That was
great. I the look on her face was just priceless.
It's incredible because I remember as a kid or like, you know, a teenager or whatever, when with the Lakers, if Shaq played pick and roll defense, they won a championship. When Shaq didn't, they had problems. It was literally the storyline because Shaq would not show on pick and rolls and he couldn't recover. And so it's funny to just see him sit there and like, I'm just imagining Candace rolling her eyes is similar to, I'm sure, Phil and Kobe rolling their eyes for years trying to have this conversation with him, you know? He just never got it. Shaq's a moron.
And it's weird,
he's
funny, though.
He's a great part of the crew. I like that he's in the crew, but
right.
he's an idiot.
He's not there for his analysis. And it's funny how he like always... He I don't want to say he shits on the younger guys, but it's weird, like this thing where the whole Donovan Mitchell thing, where like he rips on him and then basically almost gets offended that Donovan didn't thank him for motivating him. Like, no, I'm with Donovan on this one. Like, no, I heard what you said. That's it.
It was also such a weird take, because I think everyone looks at what they did with Embiid when all of them sort of like had a serious conversation with Embiid, like, hey man, you are the best player in the league. You need to step up. And then he stepped up. That was like last year, 2 years ago, and everyone like lauded them for it. And I think Shaq thought he was doing that, but it's like that conversation was something that was like ongoing about Embiid. It was like Embiid was having a rough year. Like out of nowhere, Shaq comes with this wrong Donovan Mitchell take after Mitchell has, wasn't it like after Mitchell had like a 40-point game? Or it was such a weird moment. He's like, hey, Donovan, I just want to tell you, like, you suck. Right. It's so weird on live television.
Yeah, I said tonight, you're one of my favorite players. You just don't have what it takes to take it to the next level. I said it on purpose, and I wanted you to hear it. What do you want me to say about, what do you have to say about that? And Mitchell just said, all right.
I know, that was so funny to watch. I liked, it made me like Donovan Mitchell more.
Right. It was like the Shaq. When Christian Wood called him a casual, I think that was one of the highlights of the season so far. That was, I didn't know who you were.
Well, you're a casual.
that was great.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, I have one thing I want to grab. Carl, we've had an ongoing conversation the last 2 or 3 years about who would you rather start a franchise around, Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker? And you and I have immediately said Booker without question from the start of the conversation. Have you shifted on that even a little bit?
No.
I think I have a little. I think I'm closer to 50-50. B-Tom, I don't know if we had this conversation with you. What was your take prior to this year, and what's your take now on that? I don't know why it's those two, but we always seem to come back to that conversation.
So prior to this year, I'm probably 100% Booker. After this, you know, at the midway point here this season, I'm probably 85% Booker. It's still very heavily leaning towards Booker because he's a much more efficient scorer. Neither one of them are like lockdown defenders. I find Booker to be a better passer. But if I ended up with Donovan Mitchell, I wouldn't be upset.
I agree. It feels like, and I think what's influencing us is the circumstances change, not the players, because the argument I would have made about Mitchell a year ago before the bubble is, yeah, that dude can be a best guy on an average team. He's just shooting high volume, not efficient. Whereas Booker, I always thought, like, even though he's on a bad team right now, he's a better player. He's just a better player all around. Better playmaker, better shooter, better stuff. And what's changed now is Booker's slightly in CP3's shadow, which we talked about. And Mitchell is benefiting from Gobert and Conley. So it may just be circumstances, but Mitchell's looking like a superstar in this league.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm getting closer to 50-50 now. I was a solid Booker man before. Now I'm coming around on Mitchell.
Yeah,
I mean, see if your take had changed, either of you maybe had shifted also, but
I've shifted very little. Okay. But my love and respect for Booker's game has grown exponentially.
Yeah, I love Booker. I love Mitchell.
Yeah,
it's an interesting comparison. It feels like when you think about it, it makes sense as a comparison, but it's not one you hear often, you know.
I feel like my dislike of Utah probably, I don't know why I dislike Utah, because when I look at the roster, I like everybody except Gobert. Like, so Karl Malone, man. He's poisoned me.
I don't know. Gobert didn't do Utah any favors by touching the microphone pre-pandemic. It's hard to get that image out of my head. I mean, I'm not, it's unfair.
I didn't like him. I didn't like him before that, though.
Well, he's one of those big men that wants more touches, right? Or he used to be that kind of guy, which always annoyed me.
But I mean, him just always whining about not getting, you know, respect. I'm like, they just named you Defensive Player of the Year. Like, what do you want? You want him to hold a parade for you? Like, you're widely recognized as the best defensive big man in the game. I don't know what more you want.
Okay, we all hate Utah deep in our hearts.
For sure.
Like I said, I've been poisoned by Karl Malone.
It's fair. He casts a big, awful shadow.
I had to explain to my boss, who is he's a middle-aged white guy who probably had never even done any deep diving into Karl Malone. He asked me, like, what do you think of the Jazz? I was like, I don't know if I'm a good source because I'm probably going to say I hate him because, you know, I hate Karl Malone. How could you hate the mailman? I was like, how much time you got?
If he's a middle-aged white guy, whatever you told him may have made him like Karl Malone more.
Look, he's going to need a couple of weeks before he talks to me about the Utah Jazz because he had a lot to digest. I brought some truth to his life. All right. Well, I guess we can end with, so who we got in the finals?
Brooklyn, LA, Lakers, for me.
Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming that AD comes back. If AD doesn't come back, then I think at this point you would have to say it's Utah. I know that they cave in the postseason, but who else is going to be in that spot? I don't trust the Clippers in the playoffs either. Mm-hmm. I don't trust the Nuggets without a move. So, yeah, I say the Lakers as long as AD's healthy, but otherwise the Jazz in there. But Brooklyn, I think, is a shoo-in. I mean, I don't know. Giannis could say something. Philly's nice, but I just don't think you're beating Brooklyn's closing lineup.
Yeah, I got to agree. But just to be different, I guess I'll say LA and Philly. But I do think it'll be Brooklyn. KD he's probably the most pure scorer I've ever seen in my life. Like, he can get any shot off he wants to, and it's just damn unfair.
No doubt.
It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, I was really nervous coming into this season, like how he was gonna look. I was scared we were gonna get like a hobbled like shell of his former self, but he looks like himself, and I'm very happy about that. So he doesn't have to attack me on his burner account. Very pro KD.
You know, in my heart of hearts, I hate to pick against Brooklyn because they have those three guys and I think they can outscore everyone. And at the beginning of the podcast, I talked about how can anyone match up with them, but I feel like they're not going to come. I don't know. I just feel like something's going to go wrong, man. Harden and Kyrie are weird personalities. Like, I'm still not sure it meshes the defense. I don't know. I have too many question marks. I think I'm going to say Philly and LA. And if AD is not healthy, I have no clue seven teams legitimately that who knows could come out of the West if LA goes down. So
if AD's not healthy, fuck it. I'm gonna go with a outside the box pick. Portland. Dame time.
I
love it.
I was hoping you would take that pick.
Dame time.
Ooh, Portland.
If McCollum comes back and AD's out, Portland certainly could. I mean, they could grab a three seed or a two seed because if AD never comes back, the Lakers are already down to the three seed. Like, they could get a home court.
I think the Lakers might be down to a five seed without AD.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, barring some miraculous pickup buyout-wise, you know.
Is there a reason to think without AD? He's just on some nagging stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's AD, so it's always possible, but
I don't think it's anything serious. I think it's just one of those, like, you're not coming back until you're ready to go. And yeah. So I'm pretty in on the Lakers, though. I think AD comes back and they run it back.
And they're either going to get Drummond or Cousins, right? They're waiting on Cousins if they can't get Drummond.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but yeah, they're going to get one of those big men.
I mean, Cousins is out there right now. He can sign. He cleared waivers.
Do those guys make – does Cousins make them better? Does Drummond make them better? I mean, they're going to take, what, the Montrezl Harrell minutes, I guess?
I mean,
I don't know.
Cousins probably fits in better, I think, schematically. But, you know, Drummond is – somehow Drummond isn't even 30 years old yet, and I feel like he's been in the league – like, he was playing with Alden Lister, like – he feels so old, but he's not even 30. Like, it's nuts.
Well, he can put up his 15 and 15s in LA, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think we did it. We got another classic here in the books.
Thanks for having me. My
Wi-Fi didn't screw up, so we don't have another lost episode.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
I don't want anyone to ever hear that lost tape. We had some terrible takes on that one.
It's always when you lose.
I can't speak for Killer, but I think me and you would definitely would have got canceled. Oh, man. All right. Well, we will have to do this again.
Absolutely.
Let me know anytime, man. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Go Warriors.
Oh! All right, y'all.
All right. Peace.
Take care, man.